Most lovers of classical music probably think they already know an awful lot about Beethoven, but during this coming month, WQXR will be exploring the many different sides of the iconic genius through live events, online features, and, of course, music. Beethoven Awareness Month kicked off this morning at Grand Central Station, and here to tell us more are Graham Parker, WQXR's Vice President, and Elliot Forrest of WQXR. His voice is familiar to even listeners of this show because he sometimes is a guest host here. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So what happened this morning at Grand Central, Elliot? You were there for a live broadcast?
We did. We went on the air at 7-something this morning until 9. We brought in the Escher String Quartet, which is a terrific string quartet of young players, and they played Beethoven string quartets for the commuters as they were coming and going. It was really a glorious morning of music.
And were they willing to stop, or were they rushing off to get to work?
Some stopped. Some hung out with us. It was very nice. I think that they were shocked and really delighted as the sun came through the east side. As people were rushing in their day, they could hear the music, and then when they would come up Vanderbilt and encountered this live classical Beethoven, I think they were taken away.
And Graham, why November?
We just decided, why not? Just, let's not do it around a birthday, let's not do it around an anniversary, let's just put a flag in the ground and say, it's November, we've just decided that's what it is. So it also lined up perfectly. We do have a live broadcast from Carnegie Hall during the month of an old Beethoven program, so that was definitely a clue, but we just decided, let's just do it in November.
Well, he's one of those composers who covers such a wide range of styles within his lifetime. Do we know, well, we must know all, how many works he created, although I guess every so often another one seems to turn up.
Occasionally, there's an awful lot of them, but
there are. I mean, the nine symphonies, and if you start to look at them, not every composer you can go, oh, well, they're all great, but they're all great. I mean, you think about the Fifth Symphony, that's probably the most famous four notes in classical music, and then the Ninth Symphony, and then the Seventh Symphony, his piano concertos, the one violin concerto. It's an amazing body of work.
And then all the chamber music, the piano sonatas, the string quartets, the piano trios that we heard just coming into the segment. There's just so much of it. One opera, which he struggled with a lot, but a great one opera, true as well.
And he definitely believed in himself, didn't he say, there are and will be 1,000 princes, there's only one Beethoven?
Well, I never knew him personally, but I'm guessing there was quite an ego there. I mean, I always imagine that symphony number one for any composer, when somebody sits down, the ego it would take to go, I'm writing a symphony. And he must have had one as well.
And I think he also was one of those first really tortured souls. I mean, the guy kind of lived with this complex of, am I good enough? Am I not good enough? Then he had the handicap of his hearing going, and he just was this wear his heart on his sleeve guy, which was unusual coming out of Haydn and Mozart.
And he's always scowling in all of the portraits. You brought a little statue
here.
Yes,
we have a bust here.
I'll
hold it up to the microphone.
What if anybody said to him, say cheese?
If he would have done it.
Brighten up just a little bit. Yeah, and it's true. A lot of that music is really right from the heart.
Hey, Graham, you're wearing a shirt that kind of tells part of the Beethoven story.
Yes, I mean, we're really excited about this month, and we have got a big advertising campaign to go along with it. We've got these O Beethoven posters and a TV spot running, and we did make these very cool T-shirts saying Beethoven was deaf, D-E-F. Wow. So, have a look online. They're really fun.
And we had some Beethoven tattoos that we handed out to the commuters this morning.
And also, you didn't mention the breakdancer this morning.
Yeah, I didn't. We actually had a dancer who did an interpretive both dance and breakdance to the Beethoven string quartets this morning that was terrific. His name is Dister.
I wonder whether the fact that Beethoven was kind of a cusp composer. When I think of the great composers, they all seem to be on the cusp, like Bach, like Mozart. Beethoven is one of the transitions between classical and romantic music. Does that give them a bigger palette to work with?
He studied with his father, and then he studied with Haydn. So we have this tradition of Haydn that Haydn basically is the father of the symphony. So he gets this initial idea of how to do a symphony from Haydn. Then he takes it into the next generation, foreshadowing these much bigger romantic, larger statements with the classical works. And I think you're right. I think because he's there right in the middle, he's able to both follow in some footsteps and take a lead at the same time.
And then becomes the standard for pretty much everybody who follows.
Totally freaked out Brahms. I'm not going to write a symphony. How can I be better than Beethoven?
And it was that the number nine for symphony composers became this kind of you know, choking point. I mean, Shostakovich managed to break it, but you know, Mahler's great kind of destiny with the nine symphonies. It was just he couldn't get Bruckner didn't get beyond nine.
Well, everybody wanted to put a choral part into their symphonies after that.
Who wouldn't?
Right.
We have a lot of great of events, too. Yeah. This is the entire month. We're having some terrific events. One of the ones that I only recently found out about it is that we're doing all of the Beethoven piano sonatas in one day.
Right. We're doing a full marathon of the 32 Beethoven piano sonatas.
And will that take 24 hours?
It takes, if you do it without stopping, it takes about 9.5 hours, but we're going to cut the audience a little slack and do it over 12 hours. So there will be some kind of stretch your leg breaks, but it's downstairs in the green space here. And we're very excited. What's exciting about it is, for us, is that the collection of young American pianists we have, Jeremy Denk, Jonathan Biss, are the kind of headliners, and it's just this very, very exciting mixture of professionals and also some Juilliard students who are going to fill out the ranks, too. So.
And then there's going to be a 24-hour Beethoven stream. What's that?
It's available now. You know, we do WNYC, of course, is streaming online, and WQXR has a number of different streams, including our Q2 music, but we always have a third one. And right now, it's
24/7.
Yeah, it's the third stream. You can click on it, and no, I just wasn't sure if it was up or not. Right now, you can click on it, 24/7 Beethoven. It's at WQXR.org.
There's also a Where's Beethoven photo contest.
Right,
how does that work?
The very bus that's staring at you, Leonard, we sent interns out during the summer. And they took these fabulous photos of Beethoven, the Beethoven bust, in iconic New York locations. So all through the month, every day, we'll put another photo up, and you have to guess where Beethoven is, and you get to win some really fun prizes. So check out qxr.org for that.
And what about the schnitzel and things truck on Mondays?
So schnitzel is
today is the day.
It's actually next Monday. But look, we have to be honest. Like, schnitzel is Austrian, and Beethoven was German, but he was very much associated with Vienna. And we asked the schnitzel truck, who are a very popular kind of food truck that kind of goes around the city. We asked them to get involved. The lady that runs the schnitzel truck is a big QXR fan and listens to classical music. And we asked if she would play Beethoven during one lunchtime, and she did. So they're coming down to the Soho area, I think maybe right outside the studios. And we're going to have break dancers there as well. So there'll be more Beethoven and more schnitzel and more break dancing next week.
Yummy.
And this is going to be great for people who ride in cabs where the cab driver listens to QXR. I'm always pleased when I hear WNYC in a cab, but just as pleased when I hear QXR, and of course we get some pretty great music. Now, let's go back to the whole business of Beethoven's deafness, because I've never understood. Is this something that started fairly early in his life, or was it something that hit him after he'd already created some of his more famous works?
He started to have hearing problems in his late 20s and was completely deaf by the time he was in his 40s or early 40s. So by the time he writes the Ninth Symphony, he can't hear at all. I mean, it's astounding to me when I talk to living composers now that they work things out on computers. But the idea that someone in that time period had, you know, 110 players plus soloists and a choir in his head at the entire time is one thing when you can hear it, but a whole nother level when you can't even hear it all anymore and it's just in your head. That's genius. It's extraordinary, really.
And was there anybody there to correct him if he wrote a wrong note?
I don't think so. He heard it all in his head. I mean, I think these are the days of no computers where you could write a sentence and you hear how it sounds. He could write a chord and know exactly how it would sound in his head and exactly how it would sound once a violin played it and a whole orchestra played it. That's the genius of the man. I mean,
well, you would have thought that he would have moved into more intimate kinds of pieces because it's easier to keep four parts in your head than
a
huge orchestra and a chorus and
instead
who knows
he comes
what else.
Up with the Ninth Symphony during that time period.
I think
it's unbelievable, really.
It speaks to him as this tortured soul of just he needed to work all this stuff out in public. So his deafness included.
So people can find out about what you're doing on the QXR website, but we also are listing the full schedule on our show page at WNYC.org. And my great thanks to both of you for being on our show today. Graham Parker is Vice President of WQXR, and Elliot Forrest is one of the people who will be presenting Beethoven's music during Beethoven Awareness Month. And it's been a pleasure talking with you and thinking about the great man.
Thank you, Leonard.
Always good to see you, Leonard.
Thank you.